The General Conference, Bishop Carl W. Boehner, Carl W. Boehner, Conference Report, October 1958, pages 117-120. My dear brethren and sisters, after the concluding session of conference yesterday afternoon, I was congratulated 6 times on the fine talk I have given at that session of conference, and wanting to be an honest man, I should like now to pass on those compliments to those who gave my talk yesterday afternoon. It has been most inspiring to be in attendance at this conference. I have had a long time to think. Some observations that have gone through my mind I felt might be interesting to you, even though most of these things have already been said in a better way than I will ever be able to say them. The first observation I should like to make is the terrific impact that a general conference of the church has upon its membership and upon the many thousands of people who are friendly toward the church. We will leave this great conference, I am sure, more enthusiastic and more desirous of furthering the purposes of our Heavenly Father. We will be better men and women because of our attendance here and of hearing the word of the Lord go forth as it has done. More than 35 profound sermons have been delivered in this conference already. I have been wondering, too, if we realize that this is probably the greatest religious gathering held any place in the earth. Have you ever thought about this? A general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints comprised of those who are present, those listening in on the radio, and those who might be viewing this conference on television all become part of this greatest of all religious gatherings that are held. I think of the people who have come here, representing many nations of the earth. I have shaken hands with people from New Zealand, the Fiji Islands, Tonga, Samoa, Switzerland, Hawaii, Canada, and Mexico. I feel certain there are those here representing other foreign countries also, and practically every state in this great nation of ours. I have been thinking of the thousands, yes, many thousands who would give their all to be here at this conference today, but their all is not sufficient to buy them a ticket and to take them back to their homes at the conclusion of the conference. To them, this conference will come either through the missionaries, the mission presidents, or by the printed word as it will be circulated through the periodicals of the church. Another observation I should like to make is that we are sitting in the presence of 3 of the great men of the world, the first presidency of this church. My close association with them, and the honor and privilege I enjoy of sitting in meetings with them 2 or 3 times each week bears testimony to me that there are no greater men living today. As you already know, they have been appointed by our Heavenly Father to preside over His church. They have been sustained by you to be the leaders of the church, and I hope that to us sustaining them means we will work as we have never worked before to promote the great purposes of the Lord. A further observation I should like to make is that when revelation, counsel, the interpretations of the doctrines of the church, or the law of the church goes forth to the members in all parts of the earth, it is going to go forth from this source. Therefore, I would say, keep your eyes and ears on the first presidency, and listen to the counsel that comes from them. If any person ever becomes confused, disturbed, or critical, I would say to you, come to the fountainhead of the church for the answers to your questions. You will discover that these brethren are more than willing to give you the answers that you require so that you may not get lost or wander astray. Do not go to those who are undermining the church, to apostate groups, or to those whose intent it is to destroy the work of our Heavenly Father. Another observation that has impressed me is that as we look at those on the stand in the tabernacle, there are represented here the great councils of the church, the council of the first presidency who preside over the high priesthood of the church, the council of the 12 apostles who are special witnesses of Jesus Christ, who travel the length and breadth of the church, and whose work has increased to such proportions that they cannot entirely carry the responsibility. Therefore, 8 other men have been appointed and set apart to assist them, known as the assistants to the council of the 12. All of these brethren may be considered as counselors to the first presidency of the church. On the stand also is the patriarch to the church. There are also 7 men who comprise the first council of the 70 who have a definite and specific responsibility. Finally, there is the council of the presiding bishopric who preside over the Aaronic priesthood of the church. Has it ever occurred to you that as you sit here in conference, you are in the presence of these great councils and also that you hear a personal message from each of these brethren during the course of a general conference? Another observation that has impressed me as I have been sitting here is that those of us who had the honor of being here at 9:30 this morning and listening to the broadcast of this great choir could not help but realize that from this spot every Sunday morning, for nearly 30 years now, has gone a living broadcast to the people of the nation and as far elsewhere as radio carries the inspirational music and message of the spoken word that emanates from this great tabernacle choir organization. As I thought about them, I began to realize the sacrifices that many of these people have made in spite of wind, snow, sleet, rain, cold, heat, and all other conditions. These brethren and sisters dedicate every Sunday morning, except the few Sundays they are away on tour, to the presentation of these wonderful hymns and anthems. Aside from this, there are many, many hours of rehearsals required for the preparation of these programs. I should like to say, God bless them for their devotion and faithfulness to this great cause. Another observation I should like to make is that the priesthood about which we have heard so much during this conference is so important that heavenly messengers personally brought it to the earth. The priesthood is the very lifeblood of the church. It is an honor to be a bearer of and a worker in the priesthood. It is through this power that the gospel was restored to the earth and is the dispensation of the fullness of times. It is through this priesthood that the church continues to remain organized and to function in the earth. I was proud of the great audience of Aaronic priesthood boys who were in attendance last Friday evening when we held a dedicatorial services for the beautiful Aaronic priesthood memorial monument, located just north of the tabernacle, depicting John the Baptist, a heavenly messenger, conferring the Aaronic priesthood on Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. On this occasion, more than 500 boys sang a number of inspirational songs that thrilled all who were present. Four young boys whose voices had not yet changed singing the song, On Lovely Susquehanna's Banks, brought a lump to my throat. They stood right behind me on the stand, and as they began to sing in their soft, unchanged voices, I was really touched. In my humble opinion, we are building a greater youth today than we have ever had before and preparing them to take over positions of responsibility which will certainly come to them as they prove worthy. In passing, I would like to add that we should stay close to these young men and assist in molding their lives, which will be a blessing to them and an honor and credit to the church they represent. When I think of the millions of men and boys living in the earth and appreciate that we are but a few of those who have been selected, called, and honored, and knowing that our leaders are depending upon us to do our part, I begin to realize the privilege it is to serve and the blessings that come from serving. Through the power of the priesthood, miracles are performed in this day as they were in other periods in the history of the world when the gospel was upon the earth. As long as men magnify their callings in the priesthood, we will have miracles, and so also will the church grow in influence, in strength, and in favor among the people of the world. Therefore, may all of us who have been so honored to bear the priesthood, magnify our callings, appreciate it to the fullest, and stand at the head of our homes in dignity where we can be a blessing and a strength to our families. Our children look to us for counsel and leadership, and I am afraid that in some of our homes the situation is in reverse. Sometimes the father is reactivated through the boy who holds the Aaronic priesthood or even a younger child. Many thrilling stories have been told about youngsters who have helped their fathers back into activity. I heard one not too long ago about a father and a son who were asked to be ward teaching companions, and it rather thrilled me as the mother related to me some of the experiences they were enjoying and how they learned to know each other through this experience. She indicated that after they had been teaching together for a number of months, her son came to her and said, "Mother, you know Dad is really quite a man. I am amazed at how well he understands the gospel and how well he teaches when we visit the homes on our district. I have learned many things from Dad that I did not understand before, and I am glad to be his ward teaching companion. Otherwise, I may never have learned to know him so well." This mother remarked that a day or two later, her husband came to her and said, "You know, I think the world of John. I did not know he had it in him, but when I say to him, 'Tonight it is your turn to give the lesson,' you would be proud of John if you could hear him present the topic to the families that we teach. He is developing into one capable of going on a mission." I began to think what a lovely thing it is for a father and a son to become acquainted through one of the great programs of the church, the ward teaching program. Finally, I feel to say, what is the objective of our Heavenly Father after all? I should like to quote a passage of scripture that Brother Hinckley gave in his message last Friday. One of the Lord's objectives has been put in these words, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." Brethren of the priesthood, we are the assistants of our Heavenly Father in helping him to achieve this great objective for the blessing and benefit of those who live upon the earth. When we magnify our callings in the priesthood to the extent that we are willing to put our arms around our brethren who need assistance and encouragement, we are strengthening the kingdom of God. If every man in the church who holds the priesthood magnified his calling in that priesthood, we would go forward with a power the like of which this world has never seen before. Nothing could stay it. Literally, we are engaged in our Father's business. Have you ever thought of the impact of this statement? To be engaged in our Father's business? Many of us are engaged in a business, or we work for men engaged in a business. But how many of the eternal blessings will come to us from our work in these businesses? Compare your business with our Father's business, and then thank the Lord that you have an opportunity of being engaged in His business. It is a tremendous responsibility and yet a wonderful opportunity. I sincerely hope and pray we will always be found engaged in our Father's business, helping to carry His great message of glad tidings and peace on earth to the people of the world, and keeping active those who are members of His kingdom now established in the earth. My testimony is that if we dedicate our lives to magnifying our calling in the priesthood and awake and arise to our opportunities, the work of our Heavenly Father will grow and prosper until no power can stay it. This is my conviction and my testimony to you. I pray that our Father in heaven will give us the deep and abiding appreciation for our membership in the church and then nudge us all to serve as we have never served before, and I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.